Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue to look at some of the key themes from the Gospel of John and from John's letters. We touched on themes this week on light, on Jesus as the truth, upon light and life and how they're connected together. So important. Here we are in this season of Advent. Friends, we're at the beginning of the new year, preparing, and we're really celebrating already the reality of the incarnation that changed everything, that God entered the world. God came and took on human flesh in the person of Jesus. And he's God from God and light from light and true God from true God, we say every Sunday, right? He's begotten, not made. I was made, you were made, but he's begotten. That means he comes from God. He's of the same nature as God, right? Is what the creed is getting at. And so he entered his own story, the story of a cosmos and an earth and a family of a fallen race of people that were made by him and were made for him, Scripture says. And he comes, the faithful Son of the Father, to reveal the life of God. And sometimes, friends, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to really get this. Because when the lights start to go on about what we've received, what we've actually been given in baptism, I mean, it can be very easy to have a kind of ritual sense of, oh yeah, this ritual we go through as Catholics, and sacraments are good, they're wonderful, but are they something more than just a ritual? Yeah, yeah. The sacraments bring about, they affect what they signify. And what does baptism signify? That you died with Christ and you were raised with Christ. That's what it means. Well, okay, what does it mean I've died with Christ? What it means is that you, the old man, in my case, Peter Herbeck, was born into a world, into a race of people that are fallen and under the dominion of the power of sin and death. And so I'm born into, I have a biological life, but the spiritual life I was made for is dead in me. And what needs to happen is the powers that brought that about in my life and the fact that I was born into it by virtue of being a son of Adam, original sin had hold of me. And so that problem, which produces in me the sin problem, the death problem, and all the maladies we see around us in the world today, and the fact ultimately that I'm death-directed, that it means I'm not just going to die biologically, but I'm in a condition of dying because I'm not in right relationship with God. And he sent his son to bring a life that human beings have no access to. Now we're going to try. We're going to try to find ways to find a way to save ourselves. Another dimension of it is being, or an expression of it is happening right now in the world that, you know, there's a whole bunch of people now lots of people have shifted from the Christian story, as Archbishop Gomez mentioned as he was talking to the bishops at the bishops' conference this past November, just last month. All kinds of people are now living by a different story. You know, the Christian story is the story I've been describing that John tells us about. That God made the heavens and the earth. God created us. We were made in the image and likeness of God. We were made for communion and fellowship, union, friendship with God. But that relationship was broken because Adam and Eve said no to God in the garden. When God gave them the entire garden, but one thing, don't eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they were tempted by the devil, and the devil began to sow doubt in the heart of human beings about God, about God's motives, about God's goodness, about God's power, and they believed a lie. Is God really trustworthy? Plus, that apple looks so good. I'm going to do it. We're going to step out. And then we get in. Man falls. He's banned from the garden. And now we're living in a condition of sin sickness. And it's in the human heart. It's not just out there in systems and political orders and economic structures and a fallen world. It's there. Why is it there? Because human beings produce it. That's why it's there. And because the kingdom of darkness is present. We are a fallen race of people. We cannot save ourselves. We're under the dominion of the world of flesh and the devil. But, And it explains so much, doesn't it, friends? It explains so much about what we see every day, manifestations of it in the news. And we see a combination of both, of light and darkness, don't we? Because human beings are made in God's image and likeness. And Catholics understand the fall. Humanity wasn't completely depraved at that point, absolutely, totally. But the light and the glimmer of God in some way still present, but under the power of sin and death and concupiscence, that is the fleshly covetousness, lustfulness, ego, drive is in the human person, every single person. But we share now the fall and we share the destiny the fall leads to. But we know that God, as John's been telling us, God shed light into that darkness, for God so loved the world. So God came in the person of his son Jesus, and he died for us on the cross. He died for us on the cross, why? To become a living sacrifice, to deal with the sin problem. The scripture is clear, there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Jesus makes himself, he is a love offering, the offering of his life in obedience to the Father. That act of love from a human heart that every single human being was made to do but couldn't do, didn't do because of sin. And Jesus fully, perfectly, completely gives to God what belongs to God on our behalf. He's the second Adam. He's starting something new. He's bringing about a new humanity. He's beginning a new creation. And his perfect life, his perfect offering, his pure bloody sacrifice, he offered it up freely, as I said, so that you and I could be united to his offering, his act of love. We could be brought in, and we're brought in beginning in baptism. And he deals with sin in baptism, the shedding of his blood, washing us clean. We're united to the death of Jesus in baptism. That something in us dies. That old man that was cursed by sin and cursed under sin is put to death. And we die. And he breathes his life into us in the new life, the life of the Spirit. The new creation, the new life is given to us, and we're born again by water and the Spirit. And then we know our origin, we know our purpose, we know our destiny, we know who we are, that we're children of God, the lights go on, the Spirit of God leads us to life of holiness, love of neighbor, love of God, radical love of God. And that begins, and that's the life, that's the church, and the church lives to communicate this message and this story of the reality, and the story includes God with us right here, right now. The story includes our overcoming the powers of sin and death through the grace of God, and we becoming saints. That's part of the story, and part of the story is the return of the King, which is part of what Advent's about. Anticipating not as just as celebrating his first coming, but always alert, awake, praying, longing for the return of the Lord and the final establishing of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is now on offer in the world, in the church. This time of mercy to enter in, to invite people to come out of the slavery of sin and death, out of eternal separation from God, and to come now. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That is, accept the revelation of Christ. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. To believe in him means to say yes to the diagnosis that he gives of your life and mine. He's the one who speaks the truth and sheds light into us, that tells us the truth about the human condition and where we stand in relationship to God. And he said, now turn. Turn from the path you're in. Turn from the mindset that you operate in. Turn from your radical independence. Turn from your perversions. Turn from your rebellions. Turn from your bitterness and your anger. Turn from your obstinate resistance to God and turn and receive God's mercy and repent of your sin. Confess the name of Jesus. Give your life to him and you'll receive eternal life. This is the Christian story. The story in the world, the current story that's on offer, now that's growing and growing because the kings of the earth are running in the opposite direction. They're now creating again a utopia, a place that don't exist, so to speak. And the story is this, that a big bang happened, and Catholic Church has no problem with the idea that the big bang happened. It certainly is possible, likely, whatever. But the story that's being lived is it just happened, and you can't explain it all completely. People are trying, but they really can't. in a compelling way. They can't explain how it all came together in order to even have an explosion. Only theories, but that this explosion led to what, you know, over time, over billions of years, in their mind, you know, there's the formation of things happened at some point along the line, life appeared. I mean, human life appeared and rational creatures emerged and that kind of thing, that process over billions of years of evolution. And there's this evolutionary process going on, a blind, by the way, evolutionary process that's moving through history, what we call history, these forces at work and present. And in the midst of it, there's a conviction. There's obviously there is no God. There is no spiritual world. There is no eternal existence. All there is what we have. It's matter in motion. Human beings are nothing more than very, very complex algorithms functioning. We're like machines of a particular kind. They recognize we're in this battle and recognize that despite all that, there's no fall. Nobody's fallen from anything. There's no heights to which human beings have fallen from. So there's no problem in me, but I do experience things like alienation and pain and fear, things like this, right? And so where does that come from? Oh, it comes from out there somewhere. It comes from outside of me. There's not something inside me that needs to change or that needs help. The problem exists out there. And so now we exist to battle against political, social structures that have been created, economic structures that have been created, divisions, racial divisions, whatever it is, all these things that man is battling against, it's all out there somewhere. And what we're called to do, so to speak, what life's about is every single person in this existence in which there ultimately is no meaning, every person becomes their own God, so to speak, again, that existence is what? What do we have? We have freedom of some kind. Not everybody believes we have freedom. Some people strongly disagree that there is such a thing as freedom, but nonetheless, human beings have the capacity and they have the will, and therefore they're going to do is to create themselves, create their own meaning, design their own reality, live in their own orbit, their own existence that's made up. And there's nothing more that can be gathered from that, from our existence on Earth, other than we come together socially to help survive, to fight against the forces that are set against us. So these are reasons to be united together. But there's no higher good. There's no ultimate truth. There's no shared ultimate destiny that's there. And so people are living that story. And if you live that story, anything like objective moral truth that people speak about, if you're on their side, they look at it and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? There is no ultimate truth. Therefore, why are you talking that way? You're talking that way because you want to impose on us the way you want to live. It's nothing more than that. It's just the raw assertion of your will and the raw assertion of power. And so this conflict exists. The great hope, of course, for the utopian drive is technology, artificial intelligence, all the things that are emerging in culture, virtual realities, and the rest to help people deal with, to save us from, so to speak, the trial and the frustration, the alienation, the fear, the confusion that we have in this life. There's two stories, major stories in the world. And the Christian story is the only story, friends, that will satisfy and fulfill the human heart. Jesus Christ is Lord. God is our Father. Surrender to Him. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.